Programming is sponsored by Mark J. Bernstein. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Entrepreneur, author, and financial consultant Mark Bernstein helps high-performing entrepreneurial business owners create a vision for the future and follow through on their goals and intentions. Ange Honorato is a business growth strategist who blends psychology and business together to create conscious leaders and business owners who impact the world. Founders Forum is a radio show podcast sharing the real stories behind entrepreneurship as founders discover more about themselves while providing valuable lessons and some fun and entertainment for you. Now, here's Mark and Ange.
Good morning, America. How are you? Good morning, Arlo. I hope you're up by now, buddy. That's my dog. I'm telling that to Ross, our guest today. We have a very exciting show lined up today. Good morning, Ange.
Good morning.
And today we have, and I'll introduce him more formally in a minute, but Ross Bernstein, inspirational business speaker and best-selling sports author. And we'll get into that in a minute. But before we do that, Ange, I know you have a thought for the day. Let's get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So driving into the studio today, we've been on a hiatus for a while, so it was really nice to kind of drive back into Philly. And it's a little bit of a gratuitous thing, but it popped into my mind as I was thinking about Jason Kelce, actually. And coming to do the show, and I'm thinking
everyone
about,
out there know who Jason Kelce is.
If you don't, then you're on the wrong channel. But
Travis Kelce's brother, if you don't know, right.
Which is why I'm picking Jason, because it just, you know, he's kind of the everyman's person. And I think the topic of the day that popped into my head was about impact, and thinking of someone like Jason, who, you know, hands down made the impact in his sport and his career, but it's also the impact he's made off the field. And it's not even just from fundraising and groups he's been in. It's just, I think, the person that he is. And you hear comments, and my sister got to work with him recently. She's a film producer. And, you know, when he walks into the room, it's just, there's an immediate impact in so many different ways. And so I wanted to reflect on that for myself and say, you know, we talk a lot about legacy when we talk to entrepreneurs, but I see legacy as really being the thing that then creates a ripple effect that causes or leads to legacy. So I'm curious, Mark, how you think about that, and would love to hear our guest. I think this is right up his alley as well. So what do you think about when you think about making an impact or being an impactful person or business?
Well, I just want to comment first on Jason Kelce. He does a lot of work for autism, a big cause of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's done all kinds of great public works. But I think his biggest impact may have been his Super Bowl speech. You know,
will last
in the hearts and minds of Philadelphians.
He's a proud girl dad, too. So, you know, I just think there's lots of areas in which he impacts people in his orbit.
But his speech, they keep playing that over and over again, and it's going to be in the hearts and minds of Philadelphians for
generations,
I believe. So that alone, because to change the Philadelphia, the hearts of the Philadelphia sport fan, which exist, but, you know, have had many, many years of pain. And we'll always be jubilant when we watch that video. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. We did a live show this morning, and then we record this show. And on our earlier show, we talked about death a little bit, and we talked about how the impact of your life and your purpose in life and living life with purpose and all that. And I think it's all closely related. And you see that you don't have to be a celebrity. You know, there are people, we just had another guest who's working in healthcare and really trying to improve the healthcare of people's lives. We have the people that I just lost recently. You know, one has impacted people through his business and his employees and all kinds of things. The other guy was less career oriented, but he was one of the funniest people I ever met and made everybody happy whenever he was in their presence. There's all different ways to make an impact. But I know Ross has some thoughts on this. So Ross, tell us your feelings on the subject.
You know, I could relate to the Kelce boys. They're kind of the meat and potato, you know, I mean, of course, Travis is blown up now just because he's dating out of his zip code. But, but you know, I was a guard in football, and, you know, we're kind of the unsung heroes on the offensive line, right? No one really notices you unless you screw up. Like, you could do every play great, but if you get a holding call and it screws up the whole drive, everyone hates you. So it's nice to, you know, see those offensive linemen getting some props. And Philly sports, I've chronicled Philly sports forever. They were always, you know, New York's little brother, right? They could never get their due. And then they had, you know, the Flyers, you know, made their, you know, the Broad Street Bullies back in the early 70s won the two cups. And then, of course, you know, you had the Eagles and the Phillies and the Sixers. And there's just been so many different iterations of great people and, you know, Rocky. And it's just been this whole town of underdogs and big personalities, but definitely like always embracing the offensive linemen, the Kelseys, right? The Schultzes, the DuPont, all those old school Philly people that really make Philly what it is. So yeah, I relate to that. And I love those guys. They definitely leave an impact on the common man, right? The common people that maybe don't get all the glitz and the glam. So yeah, that's cool.
And of course it was a sports analogy, and of course you're going to talk about it in sports. So let's formally introduce Ross. So you know who he is. He is, first of all, the best-selling author of nearly 50 sports books. He's a peak performance business speaker. He's all over the place in terms of business and making an impact. He's a proud member of the Speakers Hall of Fame, and has keynoted many conferences on seven continents, all seven continents. His books and he himself have been featured on CNN, CBS, Mornings, MSNBC, ESPN, and Fox News, as well as The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and USA Today. That's a lot.
And now your podcast.
And now Founders
you're
Forum.
In good company.
and we're so thrilled to have him here. So, Ross, you have a great story. I know I'm not going to have to, we're not going to have to do much on the show. I know that today. But tell us your story, how you got into doing what you're doing. And it's a really unique career. And also, at some point, we're going to talk about your life because you and I talked about this. You've created a great life around this, and it's pretty amazing. So let's start with your early, your childhood to today, and tell us how you got there.
All right, Bernie. Well, I'm honored to be on first. Thank you.
So you're welcome, cool, Bernie, and thank you for being here.
Cool to be on.
So I do need to add this. So not only were we both Bernsteins, we were also proud brothers of Pi Kappa Alpha.
That's right.
And we both have brothers who are brothers of Pi Kappa Alpha.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We've brought the Bernsteins to Pi KA. So
that's right. That's right. So my quick story. I grew up in rural southern Minnesota. When I was 10 years old, I watched the Miracle on Ice hockey team. Herb Brooks, the coach of the team, is one of my heroes. They beat the Soviets. I wanted to play hockey. I got into it. I went to the Herb Brooks hockey camp that year. I was the worst guy there. I won the most improved award. I was the guy who sucks the most. But I wound up getting into hockey, and I wound up trying out to play for the University of Minnesota. I lasted about 10 minutes. I got cut, and I wound up becoming the team mascot, Goldie the Gopher, kind of made lemonade out of lemons. From that experience, I wrote my first book as a senior in college called Gopher Hockey by the Hockey Gopher.
I have to stop you for 1 second because we have had Dave Raymond, the kind of king of mascots,
the
show.
Yeah,
and I know you guys know each other.
He's a good friend.
Yeah, the original Philly fanatic.
He's the goat. He's an OG, man. He's the best.
Go ahead.
So I had two brothers that went on to get Ivy League MBAs. They were on Wall Street. This is what my parents wanted me to do. But in the true entrepreneurial spirit, I said, I want to work in sports. That's my passion. So I leveraged all my grad school money, and at the behest of them, they thought this was going to be a huge failure. And I wound up writing this book, and 50 books later, I made a career out of it. And now I get to travel the world as a professional speaker and help to impact people and to help them and to help them be better. And that's what this show's about, right? Just sharing wisdom and helping people, and kind of by the laws of karma, just to be able to watch people do good. And it's all about their legacies. So yeah, I'm honored to be here. And that's my story.
One quick question for you. I imagine you're not finished writing books. Are you?
Eh.
Oh, maybe.
You know,
maybe
a lot of, you know, a lot of what I talk about as a speaker is disruption, and in my world, I could see that coming. You know, my world early on, I was churning out a few books a year. I was a master at getting on TV, radio, print, newspapers, magazines. And then all of a sudden it was like this shift. It was no longer demographics and day parts. And it was likes, clicks, shares, how many followers you have. I could see this coming, and Borders was gone. B. Dalton's was gone. Mm. Walden Books was gone. Crown Books was gone. Barnes & Noble was hanging on by a thread, you know, but selling more caramel macchiatos, board games, tchotchkes, greeting cards, and music than they were books. And there were Kindles and Nooks and Audibles. So, you know, I transformed, and that's a lot of what I talk about is change. You know, it's, you know, I think back to the days of, you know, when I was just starting out writing this book. I mean, I get parents a lot of times at presentations that will say, you know, my kid, just like you, they love sports and they want to do this. What advice do you have? And it's like, what advice? I mean, my God, when I was young, I had to leverage all my grad school money to physically write and publish a book that was going to, you know, that everyone thought would be a disaster. Kids today anyone can do a podcast. Anyone can do a blog or a vlog. I mean, there's, you know, Justin Bieber did not need a record label. He just went on YouTube, and there's so many opportunities now. Like, everything has changed. So traditional books have changed. They're for celebrities and politicians now and fiction writers. But like, anything you write now is like yesterday's TV guide. And if you have to be over 50 to understand that reference, but it's just, everything's changing. So
true,
now
but
I think they've
changed the word author to content creator, you know? So it still is content. It's still material. So tell me, so since you're done with books, tell me about your last book. What was the last book?
I wouldn't say I'm done. I'm actually, working on one right now, but I don't have a deadline.
That's where I wanted to go.
The last book I wrote was, and I'll hold it up, people watching, I guess, but it was a book called Wearing the Sea, and it's about captains. Interestingly, one of the guys who wrote one of the forewords is Bobby Clark, who you may recognize his name in Philly. But it was a cool book, and it turned into another speech that I do about leadership. And it was really interesting to learn about. You know, I probably interviewed 500 captains and coaches, and just want to learn how they lead and why they lead, and the different styles of leadership. And that's kind of what I do, is I kind of relate it back to business, about if you're going to be a manager or supervisor and you want to connect with that young Gen Z or millennial, or if you want to connect with that older boomer senior or that foreign customer or coworker or difficult coworker. So it's really, that's what sports is. It's the coaches, the captains have to build relationships quickly. There's a shared vision in sports. If the team stinks, they all get fired. So they have to come together quickly. They go to training camp. They got to figure out chemistry and put the right people in the right seats in the bus, as they say. And it's a fascinating thing. So I love studying the how and why, and then translating to help people do better in their career so they can have a more profound legacy.
So that's so great. That's why I wanted to ask you about the content a little bit, because I know that's what you do. You take the lessons from sports. It's not just about sports that you're writing about and that you're speaking about. I know we talk about this a lot. It's not a straight line to stardom, you know. And I'll call you a star in terms, and I know you don't think of yourself that way, but in terms of what you do in the speaking circuit, in terms of putting yourself out there, You're near the top of the heap. So, what kind of challenges have you had along the way, Ross? And what kind of characteristics do you have, or character you have, that helped you get through those frustrations? Obviously, you didn't always make the team early on, so you dealt with that. But as your career progressed, what did that look like?
Yeah, well, this business of professional speaking, it's a business of rejection. You know, I book about 130 gigs a year all over the world, and for every gig I book, I probably lose at least five, right? And that's just what I know of, that where they were kind enough to say, I'm sorry, we didn't pick you. We found someone better, smarter, prettier, much more interesting than you. I'm sure there's another 20, you know, that were just like, oh, this guy's horrible. I'd never even consider this guy. So unless you've got real thick skin, this isn't the business for you. But I learned about thick skin early on. You know, you write a book, everyone, you're preparing a 5-course meal for a bunch of snobby food critics. They've got Amazon. They're going to leave reviews. They've got avatars. They can hide behind the cloak of anonymity, and they can write whatever they want. So, you know, you're not going to please everyone. And that's just life. But there's been, You know, there's been challenges all along the way. There's disruption, you know, certainly as I explained my book Disruptors, but there's speaking disruptors, right? I mean, there's things like one of my biggest disruptions, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Mark, being in the world of financial services where you're a top producer, is just picking up the phone. You know, I close deals over the phone. I'm old school that way, but no one wants to pick up their phone anymore. No Anyone question. Under 40, it's like, what are you calling for? This is for texting. This, you know, and how do you close a deal when they can't hear your voice and how excited you are and what you're going to do to help them? It's challenging. Robocalls have made it so no one wants to answer their phone ever again. I would say other disruptions in my world include things like, you know, just obviously we went through the pandemic where we're Zoom. Here we are on Zoom was the big thing. We had to all of a sudden pivot, as they were saying back in those days. And I remember when that happened, it was incredibly disruptive. I remember March 20th, I was in Miami. I just keyed an event. I was on my way to Charleston and my client called and said, "We're canceling." I said, "What do you mean? I'm literally at the airport. I'm on my way." And she said, "Yeah, there's 3,000 people that were supposed to come, and this coronavirus thing, we think it's going to be really bad, so we're canceling." And then every one of my clients canceled, and it was like, oh my God, now what, right? It was, and then a client called and said, "We're going to do virtual." And I said, "You mean like a webinar?" And they said, "No, for Zoom. You can do Zoom, right?" And I said, "Of course." And then I went on and Googled, "What the hell's Zoom?" And I got Zoom, and thank God for Zoom, because whereas a lot of people, you know, just went out of business in my world that year. I had one of my best years ever. I leaned in and I wound up doing it, you know, in my office here where I was able to set up a second TV and I was able to walk around. And I remember I had a call in about October 2020 from I had the CEO of Prudential saying, "I just watched you for 90 minutes and I didn't check my phone or email once." I knew I could still bring that same energy. I could deliver what I call the virtual keynote, not a Zoom or a Teams call where you see their tiny head in the bottom corner. I was able to just make it a little different. And then I was doing gigs in Dubai and Des Moines and Moose Jaw on the same day. So there was no, it was about change. And that in your world, it's fintech, it's insurtech, right? It's how these people are changing. So I just think it's everywhere. And if you don't lean in and change, you're going to have problems.
Well, listen, there's another parallel. I'll just say this real quick that not to talk about me, but I was like, I'm thinking I'm out of business. Cause what do? I take people out to lunch and dinner and go to events and yeah. It's all in person. So I happened to be working with a coach at that time and it gave me a great opportunity to rethink things. And I first did a virtual, I didn't want to call it a Zoom call. I called it a web conversation. You know, which I thought was kind of clever, and it was called Financial Leadership during Turbulent Times. And I created groups of people to get together and did business over the internet. I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. And that morphed into a manufacturing group I started called the Forward Focus Forum, and that morphed mm-hmm. into this podcast. And I love to say, because I'm by far the old guy in my company amongst my partners, and I'm the one on social media, and I'm the one with all the technology. But yeah. I was telling them recently, I think I got to think past the podcast. I don't think this is going to last forever. I think we're going to have, and I know it's going to be, I haven't told you this, Ann, but we're going to figure out video. We're going to get our mm-hmm. get our radio faces on TV, and we're gonna, because that's coming next. It's got to be that way. But I don't know what's beyond that. But you got to keep changing. There's always going to be disruption, like you said. I love your message regarding that. And this is more than a great time for a quick 1 minute break for a commercial. And we'll be right back on Founders Forum.
Attention, employers! Ready to secure your business? Verify Protect provides fast, accurate, and secure background checks. Ever wonder who's really joining your team? Don't gamble with uncertainty. Choose Verify Protect for nationwide, lightning-fast employee background screening. Forget AI glitches. Our pros review each detail. Why Verify Protect? Picture this. Flexibility tailored by your hiring team. Integration, customization, and online ease. Your rules. Discover legal and criminal checks, employment and education verification, financial and social insight, and government and housing checks. Your business shield starts here. Visit verifyprotect.com today and schedule a game-changing call. Don't play with dice with your hires. Verify Protect, your pre-employment screening experts.
We are back on Founders Forum, and as I always say, Time flies when you're having fun, and we have 9 minutes left, fantastically.
We always get these so great fun. Guests that we need, you know, multiple hours of conversation with. So, and I didn't mean to jump in there, Mark, but I because of the 9 minutes.
Jump in.
Yeah, so, you know, Ross, right before the break, you were mentioning how you, not only for you personally, you know, kind of pivoted, you know, when the pandemic hit, but I think you're conveying a piece of leadership that I think is notable to kind of point out, right? So you may not have a company yourself that has, you know, dozens and dozens of employees, but I think by the fact that being someone that people look to in terms of thought leadership around the concept of leadership, and I'm a sports person too, and when I'm working with my clients, I really hone in on conscious leadership as sort of my thing, and I like to relay a lot of that to sports figures and things like that. But the story that you just told, I think it's also important to note for listeners that you don't have to be a founder of a massive company. You can have a thought, you can have a movement, you can be a leader inside of business when you're not the top person. And just by the fact that you pivoted in such a way that people then could follow, right? So the CEO of Prudential calls and says, I'm keyed into what you're doing. And it's not even so much what you're saying, but it's the representation of how you're leading. So to me, that's a beautiful tie-in to the impact that we talked about at the beginning of the show. And so I'm curious, the question in here is, I'm curious, when you're in front of groups now, what are some of the key points that you're teaching and conveying to leaders of companies or entrepreneurial businesses or even, you know, movements or leaders in their homes even? What are some of the key messages that you're in a post-COVID world? What are you kind of leaving with them with?
Thanks, Ange. You know, I think to be really successful today, to really provide value to our clients or whatever it is in any entrepreneurial situation, I think to truly be a thought leader, you've got to do research. And I think that's the thing where a lot of people just, they take shortcuts. And, you know, I've always been a researcher. I've always written books, and I always had this, imposter syndrome, as they say, where I wasn't good enough. I think I'd, you know, written 20, 30 books before I even really started speaking. I wanted to be an expert. And I think that the most successful speakers today are people that are out facilitating, doing their own research. They're asking questions. They're figuring out what challenges, what problems they have. And they're actually conducting their own proprietary research to make them a true thought leader. They're not just regurgitating someone else's, you know, stuff. So, you know, for me, that's why I've had success in talking about sports, is because my stories are my own. They're not just general stories. They're things where I've interviewed people and done that. And I think that's the key. But I think, you know, to your point about finding success in your own terms, yeah, I mean, I've built my business very strategically. I don't have any people, you know, with the way that, you know, the yin and the yang of a lot of this technology is, you don't need it. You know, I run my business from my phone, and my wife and I travel together. So we go all over the world. We're probably on the road 200, 240 days a year. And we made a lifestyle business. So we just go gig to gig to gig. And our daughter's in college at the University of Minnesota. So we get back and we see her, and she comes with us when she used to come with us all the time. One of my favorite things to brag about is she became Delta Airlines' youngest ever diamond medallion at the age of 13.
Wow.
So we got her to all 7 continents by junior high. And she's a public school kid, nothing crazy. We just made a choice to like enjoy the ride. And I think that's the thing, and I know that's what you talk about in finding happiness and success, is to do it on your own terms and to be able to kind of enjoy the ride. We get so caught up, and I'm trying to live my best life now. I don't want to be like, yeah, when I retire, I'm going to sell my business and I'm going to go do all this stuff. And it's like, man, we see a lot of old people on cruise ships that can barely get off the cruise ship. It's like, you know, you gotta enjoy the ride. And I think that's what the pandemic taught us too, is a lot of people realize with burnout and stress and anxiety that they want to be working remote. They want to do different things. And that's caused huge disruption from real estate to financial services. Is how do you accommodate this? How do you make it so people can have their cake and eat it? So there's a lot of challenges. But I think as thought leaders, I know you're a great speaker as well in your own right. So it's how do we help people? How do we help people think differently so they can accomplish their goals? And certainly, Mark, that's what you do as a financial expert, is how do you help them achieve their goals and do it on their own terms? So
Ross,
that's what we have to do.
Yeah, we love that. And it leads perfectly into, and I think I know what you're going to say, but let's talk about if this were April of 2034, 10 years from now. And so we're looking at your 10-year vision. What would your life look like then?
Well, we'd be having this conversation in the metaverse, of course, right?
Of course, right.
Phones and emails would be dead, and our generative AI assistants would be handling all the details.
It will be chip-to-chip conversation.
Yeah. You know, 10 years, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be doing just what I'm doing. I'm super happy. I was just at my friend Harvey McKay's 90th birthday party.
Oh, you said that was coming
up. Harvey and my dad were old fraternity brothers at the University of Minnesota, the Jewish fraternity. And one of the guys was Robert Zimmerman. Bob Dylan was an old fraternity brother that they had, just to take you back down memory lane a little bit.
But Harvey McKay, you know, Jewish?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And Harvey's 90. He has a new book out. He's speaking. He's flying his jet to gigs. I mean, people like that just inspire the hell out of me, right? I mean, there's no rules. As
me
long
too.
As you're relevant, as long as you feel like you have purpose, as long as you feel like you're making a difference, helping people, then the world is your oyster. Like, I'm just a baby in this business, and I feel like I'm an old guy. And as long as you can do that, then great. So I have no thoughts of retiring or doing anything, but I just feel like I love what I do, and hopefully, you know, it sounds like you two do as well. And as long as we can help people and make a difference, then that's success.
Absolutely. So that leads right into, we started the show and started it with impact. And tell me about your legacy that you'd like to leave for your daughter and for others.
You know, I talk a lot about Herb Brooks. I'm the president of the Herb Brooks Foundation, and I've written a couple of books about Herbie. And we've raised millions of dollars to help kids play sports, something he was passionate about. And when I asked Herb about his legacy, he said a couple of things. He said, number one, the name on the front of the jersey is always more important than the name on the back of the jersey. Mm-hmm. And that was a line they used in the movie Miracle. He died during the making of the movie, and I got to work with the producers and give him some wisdom. And that was one of the things they used, which was really cool. And the other thing Herb talked about was an acronym he called QTL, quality time left. And I think that's a good metric, especially in the world of financial services, is how much quality time do you have left? And I think that's the big thing. So,
I love it.
You know, my legacy will be my family as it is for yours. And hopefully I'll make a difference to a lot of people and just appreciate people like you doing what you do.
And if you could give advice to your younger self, what would that be?
It would be, you know what? It'd just be keep doing what you're doing, man. I don't know. That's a loaded question. I don't have any regrets. Every huge failure I've had has become a massive part of my speaking, right? I don't, that's the thing. Like, a lot of professional athletes fail in speaking because they're the hero of their story. I'm not. I talk about other people. And for me, I talk about failures. That's the key. And to be an entrepreneur, that's where you learn is failing. So whenever I have a huge failure, great. It's another great story, another little signature story, a vignette that you can share to help other people. So, hey, man, the more failures, the better.
Well, you, my friend, are spreading knowledge and inspiration and joy. And it's been such a pleasure to have you here. So in other words, I just wanted to say, you know, in Philly, we would say, keep on doing what you're doing. You said, we in Philly in the 70s, when I was growing up, we would say, keep on trucking. So that's keep on trucking, right? So listen, great to have you here, my friend, my brother. And I know we'll be in better touch, and we'll be speaking more. And thank you all for listening to Founders Forum. Hope you enjoyed your time with Ross Bernstein, Angela Honorato, and myself. We'll see you next week on Founders Forum.